so here is the homily. It's called the Red Heifer Offering. It's in Numbers 19, among the laws of purification, is the amazing story of the red heifer offering or sacrifice. It was an occasional sacrifice, only offered when needed to purify from ceremonial uncleanliness those who for any reason had touched the dead or in other special cases. It was also a sin offering. Interestingly enough, with all the other sin offerings, some of the blood was actually applied to the sinner, but not in this case. Only the blood was sprinkled towards the sanctuary. Here it is in Numbers 19, verses 1 through 3, says this, "Then the Lord spoke to Moses and Aaron, saying, 'This is the statute of the Lord which the Lord has commanded, saying, Speak to the sons of Israel, that they may bring you an unblemished red heifer, in which is no defect, and on which a yoke has never been placed. You shall give it to Eleazar the priest, and it shall be brought outside the camp and slaughtered in his presence.'" Before I go into this, you may have heard about the red heifer in evangelical circles, because some evangelicals feel that this is one of the keys to the rebuilding of the temple in Jerusalem, when they get some red heifers. And it, in fact, it was just recently, a man in Texas had five, they're actually very rare red heifers. I mean, they can't have anything, you know, not even one little white hair. It's got to be all red. And recently, a farmer had five red heifers, and he brought them over to Israel. So many saw this as a sign that the millennium is coming and that the temple would be rebuilt. So it's interesting, some of the history about this red heifer. But we're sticking with just the Bible today. What is special about this red heifer? Well, the life of every sacrifice, from the first one offered at the gate of Eden all the way to the cross, was a type of Christ. But the offering of the red heifer is different in some ways, and we'll take a look at those and what that means for us today. First of all, the obvious. The heifer had to be red. This is the only offering of any animal where it had to be a certain color. It's not anywhere else. Of course, which in a special way symbolizes the blood of Christ. Blood in the Bible symbolizes life, and blood poured out symbolizes life poured out in death. Here, the color red reminds us of Jesus' life, which was poured out in death for our sins at the cross. Sin is against God, and only He could repay the price to redeem us or buy us back. 2 Corinthians 5:21 reminds us, "For He, that is God, made Him, that is Christ, to be sin for us, who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in Him." This is the great exchange, the great gift of God. Well, secondly, not only did it have to be red, but as with many of the other offerings, it had to be without blemish, perfect, representing Him who knew no sin, the spotless Son of God. We saw that in that scripture in Hebrews chapter 10 that was just read for us. Appreciate that. Reminds us that in the Old Testament sanctuary system, there were priests who stood daily ministering and offering the same sacrifices which never could take away sin. They pointed to something more important, didn't they? But this man, Jesus, after he had offered one sacrifice for sins forever, sat down on the right hand of God. For by one offering, he has perfected forever those who are being sanctified. And so Christ is typified in his blood here and also in his perfection, his perfect life, unblemished. Jesus was the perfect offering. God came down in the flesh. He was in all points tempted like as we are, yet without sin. His spotless righteousness was showered down upon the human race. Think about it. One ark, one brazen serpent, one red heifer impressively point to the one great offering, the sacrifice of Christ. It was to be one that had never been broken. This heifer had to be one that had never been broken or borne a yoke. This is interesting too, and also symbolic of Christ. Christ came of his own free will. He wasn't forced to come and die for us. While enduring the agony of Gethsemane, he could have wiped the bloody sweat from his brow. He could have called 10,000 angels and returned to his rightful place in heaven and left the world to perish. There was no power save that of supreme love that forced Christ toward the cross. He came a voluntary offering from choice, from his immeasurable love for us. Fourthly, because it was red, spotless, and free-ranging, it was also extremely rare and therefore extremely valuable. And such is the sacrifice of Christ for us. Perishable things such as gold or silver could not redeem us from our empty way of life. Only the unique, one-of-a-kind love offering of God himself could satisfy. But that is not all. We won't go there now, but Deuteronomy 21 speaks of another heifer that was offered on behalf of sin. And in both cases, in Numbers and in Deuteronomy, the offering was taken outside the camp. This, of course, typifies Christ, who was also crucified outside the camp, not in Jerusalem. He was taken out. And so, this heifer was not taken to the temple like other sin offerings, but to a rough and rocky, remote valley outside the camp, to a field that had never been cultivated or sown. This typified that Christ suffered not for the Hebrew race alone, but for the sin of the whole world. Not only was it offered outside the camp, but in a valley where the land was so rocky and so utterly worthless that it had never been plowed. Interestingly enough, there had to be water there also. You're thinking, surely they would have used it in the desert, this field? Nope, not this field. And yet here was the place chosen to sprinkle the blood of that special offering. So application to us today. At times we may feel like that worthless valley beyond all hope. But today, friends, there is good news. The sprinkled blood still speaks. You are worth the sacrifice of Christ. Come on and say amen if that's good news. Now, otherwise, if you say, well, no, there's no way that I'm worth it. Well, that means you're accusing God of not knowing values. No, he knows values. And you are worth the sacrifice of Christ. You are worth the pouring out of all heaven. He would have done it just for you. You may have wasted your life and become like that rough valley and think that you are of no account to anyone. But you must believe and appreciate the fact that the precious blood of Christ has been sprinkled over your wasted life as surely as the blood of the heifer was sprinkled over the rough stones of that valley. And so in summary, the unique, unequaled, inexpressibly valuable, perfect, free will offering of God Himself is yours in Christ. And it is as we see this love and appreciate it and comprehend it and take it in, this love that finds no equal, that we begin to cry out, more of thee, God. Yes, more of thee. And He answers, yes, my child, receive me and abide in me, even unto all the fullness of the Godhead bodily. And so this morning, let us behold and be changed by what manner of love the Father has lavished upon us, that we should be called the sons of God. Let's pray. Oh, Father in heaven, this red heifer offering teaches us much. It teaches us about the blood of Christ spilt for us, His sacrificial death, life poured out in death. That's what blood poured out means. And that's our wondrous Savior who died the death that we deserved. He tasted death for every man. Oh, what a Savior we have today. And He's a perfect Savior, unblemished. Indeed, He lived the perfect life, and that's what the bread really symbolizes that we will partake of. And of course, the blood is symbolized in the grape juice, the pure wine that we will partake of. Oh, what a wonderful Savior we have. And He was crucified outside the camp, one who did not die just for the Hebrew race, but died for the whole world. Nobody today can say Christ did not die for me. Anyone who turns to Christ can find in Him a Savior to help in time of need. And thank you, Father, for pointing out to us that rough, rock-strewn valley, seemingly worthless, where the blood was sprinkled. And maybe sometimes we have that feeling about ourselves and our own experience. We don't always get it right, Lord. And oftentimes the devil tries to condemn. But today the blood still speaks. And you say to us, I am your Savior. I'm waiting with open arms to bring you in. And so thank you, Father, today for the forgiveness of sins. If we confess our sins, you're faithful and just to forgive us and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Go with us now. For those that are going to the foot washing service, for those that are staying, may each of us examine our hearts and allow you to take out anything that is unlike you, that we might be your perfect offering in the perfection and in the righteousness of Christ. Clothe us now in that perfect, spotless garment woven in the loom of heaven. And we thank you in advance in Jesus' name. Amen.